Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's game day, Brew Crew fans. And we'll get you ready before first pitch. Coming up, today's starting lineups. We'll debate the hot topics in Milwaukee. Plus, you'll hear from the skipper. This is the Pella Windows and Doors Baseball on Deck Show, live from the Hyundai of West Allis Studios on Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Oh, yeah. Welcome in, you Milwaukee maniacs. Jeff Orlowski, the Polish Pipe Bomb here, getting you ready for Brewers, Angels. You're 8-2, first place in the NL Central, Brewers. They currently hold a 2.5-game lead over the Pittsburgh Pirates. Brewers, they are 3-0 on the road. That was because of the sweep against Cincinnati earlier this season. And they are +2 in run differential. The LA Angels of Anaheim, yeah, that just rolls off the tongue. They are 4-6 this year, good for last in the AL West. However, they are 3-1 at home this season. They have won three straight, but they do carry a -3 in run differential. Welcome in. It's the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show. Check them out at PellaWI.com. And I'm coming to you live from the Hyundai of West Allis on Deck Studios. Got a lot to get to tonight before we get some late night baseball. However, let's put a bow on yesterday's game, a 4-2 Brewers win over the hated Chicago Cubs. Zach Davies, he got the start yesterday. He pitched well. He pitched a scoreless first, and then in the bottom of the first, Mr. MVP Christian Yelich came to the plate.
Here's Yelich on the first pitch.
Yeah, career home run number 100. Highlight courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. All the highlights we'll play for you today all come from Fox Sports Wisconsin, and we thank them for that. Yeah, Yelich, he just stays red hot at the plate. What a start to the season for Mr. MVP. He gives the crew a 2-0 lead after the first inning. Stayed locked 2-0. Until the bottom of the third when Travis Shaw comes up.
A big play with nobody out. First and third, top two in the order with four hits in this game. Kane and Yelich. And now Travis Shaw. Shaw, base hit right field. In the score is Kane.
Yep, that gave the crew a 3-0 lead. Zach Davies just mowing them down. It's 3-0, head to the fourth inning. Mr. MVP Christian Yelich comes back to the plate.
Yelich, a high drive to center. And Hayward will make the catch. Tagging at third is Gamble. Arce will tag as well. It's an RBI for Yelich. That's number three of the afternoon. And a 4-0 Brewers lead on the sacrifice fly.
Yeah, made the game 4-0. That's all the Brewers would end up mustering yesterday. Top of the sixth gets a little bit closer. Wilson Contreras, the catcher from the Cubs, he launched a 2-run bomb to make the game 4-2. And that would end up being the final score. The story of yesterday's game, Josh Hader. Josh Hader. He goes two and two-thirds innings, picks up the save. He grabs an eight-out save last night, three strikeouts. None of them were bigger than the strikeout of Anthony Rizzo back in the seventh inning.
We'll do it again. Three balls, two strikes. Zobrist will take off with the pitch. Here he comes, and a swing and a miss. He struck him out. The Haterade. A punch out of Anthony Rizzo to end the inning.
Oh, yeah, the Haterade was strong last night, that's for sure. Eight-out save. That is awesome. Craig Counsell did say in his pregame press conference today that Josh Hader is not available for today's game. He would not elaborate. He would not go further. He would not say that if he's available tomorrow or not. But at least for tonight's game, Josh Hader is not available. Yesterday, Zach Davies got the start. He goes 5 2/3, gives up five hits, two runs, two walks, one K. He lowered his ERA to 169 yesterday. Alex Claudio comes in for 2/3 of an inning, a hit, a walk, and a strikeout, and then the amazing performance by Josh Hader. So that is all the from yesterday. The Brewers, they take 2 of 3 from the Cubs. Now they head out to the West Coast to face the LA Angels. Mike Trout and the LA Angels, a little late night baseball. Let's get the starting lineups.
You're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors On Deck Show on The Fan. Who's batting first? Here's today's look around the diamond with the starting lineup. Sponsored by Waukesha Sports Cards, your shopping headquarters for sports collectibles and authentic hand-signed memorabilia. Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com for a list of their upcoming autograph signings.
All right, the LA Angels. Like I said earlier, they enter the game 4-6 last in the AL West. They are 3-1 at home. They've won three straight. They go to battle against the Brewers like this. Leading off for the Angels, Cole Calhoun out in right field. Mike Trout batting second, patrolling center field. He was the player of the week in the American League, in which he batted .438. He had a .654 on-base percentage, .1375 OPS. He hit five homers in four games. Have yourself a week. The greatest player on the planet right now, Mike Trout, hitting second for the Angels. Batting third, Justin Bour playing first base. Cleaning up, it is Andrelton Simmons. He's at short. Albert Pujols, he's the DH, and hitting fifth for the Angels tonight. Batting sixth, Brian Goodwin out in left field. Yoli Chacin is on the mound for the Crew. Brian Goodwin, he has three at-bats against Chacin. He's 2-for-3 with an RBI, so he's had some success against Yolise. Behind the dish and batting seventh for the Angels tonight, Jonathan Lucroy. That name might sound a little bit familiar. Hitting eighth and playing second base, Tommy LaStella, ex-Cub. Batting ninth, David Fletcher, and he's at the hot corner. Pitching tonight for the Angels, Trevor Cahill versus Milwaukee in his career. He's got one start. He has made 12 relief appearances. He's 1-0 with a 2.29 ERA. His last start was against the Seattle Mariners. He went six innings. He allowed one run, three hits, did not walk anyone. Overall this season for Cahill, he's 0-1, a 3.75 ERA, and he does have eight punchouts. Again, the starting lineup for the LA Angels tonight: Coleman, Trout, Bour, Simmons, Pujols, Goodwin, Lucroy, LaStella, Fletcher, and Trevor Cahill is towing the rubber. For your first place Milwaukee Brewers, they go to battle like this. Lorenzo Cain leading off, playing center field tonight. Batting in the two hole, Christian Yelich out in right. Ryan Braun got the day off yesterday. He's back in left field hitting third. Travis Shaw doing the cleaning up tonight, playing third base, Jesus Aguilar at first base hitting fifth. Mike Moustakas, he's in the sixth hole at second base. He's 2-for-3 in his career, good for a .667 average against Cahill. Yasmani Grandal behind the dish tonight, hitting seventh. He's had 7 at-bats against Cahill in his career, and he's hitting .429. So look out for Yasmani tonight. He might have a big night. The designated hitter tonight, Eric Thames, hitting 8th. Orlando Arcia, 9th, playing short. Pitching tonight, Yoli Chacin. He pitched for the Angels for part of the 2016 season. He did go 5-6 when he was with L.A. 4.58 ERA in 29 games. He made 17 starts for the Angels before he decided to head to free agency. So Yolis is going up against one of his former teams. Versus the Angels in his career, he's 0-1. He's only had one start against them. He went 6 innings, only gave up 2 runs and 5 hits, but it must have been an unlucky outing because he took the loss on that one. Overall this season for Chacin, he's 2-0. He's got a .422 ERA, and he's struck out 13 guys already. So off to a good start for Chacin. Again, the starting lineup for your Milwaukee Brewers, first-place Brewers, Kane, Yelich, Braun, Shaw, Aguilar, Moustakas, Grandal, Thames, Arcia, on the mound, Yoli Chacin. Let's see what the weather is going to be like out in the City of Angels.
How's the turf? Is weather a factor in today's game? Let's get the Steins Garden and Home Field and Game Conditions. Steins Premium 4-Step Lawn Program is comparable to national brands for less. Formulated exclusively for Wisconsin lawns. 16 locations, family owned since 1946. Shop Steins.com.
Yeah, the weather tonight out in L.A., Anaheim, wherever the heck they play, the L.A. Angels of Anaheim, throw a few more cities in there just to make it more complicated for a simple-minded man like me. Right now, it is 81 degrees under mostly sunny skies. You got just a light 8-mile-an-hour wind. For first pitch tonight, it's going to be 78, same mostly sunny skies, 7-mile-an-hour wind. So the wind's going to die down a little bit. Temperature is going to drop down. Probably by the end of the game, they'll be in the low 70s. But we all know what an absolutely beautiful day today was here in Milwaukee. And so, you know, it's hard to feel bad that the weather's dropping out there a few degrees. It is still absolutely gorgeous in California. So we got a ton more to get to. We're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, it'll be roundtable time. Radio Joe Zenzola, Anthony Mandela, two of the rock stars here at The Fan, are going to join me and talk some Brewers baseball. You're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show. Check them out at PellaWI.com, coming to you live from the Hyundai of West Allis On Deck Studios. Jeff Orlowski here. Lots more to get to. We'll be right back here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It's time to debate the big issues surrounding the crew. Get ready for the roundtable. Brought to you by McCormick Law Office, the back injury attorneys. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to the On Deck show. Jeff Orlowski here, and it is my favorite time of the show, the roundtable. Let me welcome in Mr. Radio Joe Zenzola, producer extraordinaire on the Bill Michaels Show. Can be heard Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on The Fan. You can follow him on Twitter at Radio Joe Sports. Good stuff there, like always. Mr. Z, how are you tonight?
Jeffrey, how the heck are you? I'm doing well.
Oh, same, man. Living the dream. Late night baseball tonight. Now, with the crew, Joe, you know, they played 7 out of their first 10 games were all against division rivals. All 10 were against the division, but Cincinnati, you know, you kind of throw them away. So you had 4 against St. Louis. You had 3 against Chicago. They end up 8-2 after those 10 games. Do they take the series win over the Cubs and use that as motivation to kind of keep the ball rolling? Or are you scared that they might have a letdown playing an uncommon AL opponent?
Well, look, in a long baseball season, there will be letdowns. And, you know, following the Brewers my entire life, I have, you know, in the early stages of my life, you know, seeing the Brewers, you know, be a letdown to a much lesser team, you get all worked up about it. But
you know what, when you put it over the course of 162 games, it's just going to happen. And it happens to every team in baseball. You're just not going to play well for a series. And it could very well happen here against the Angels. Now you go out to the West Coast, travel a little bit, trying to get your body acclimated to the, you know, West Coast time zone. And, you know, who knows? I just think if you look at the Brewers and what they put together here in the first 10 games, it's been very impressive. And when you talk about a Cubs team that was trying to right the ship a little bit, you know, I kept saying, big series for the Brewers. If you can take 2 out of 3, you kind of crush the Cubs' motivation a little bit and their spirit. And for you, you know, you're not only 8-2 on the season, but you're also 8-2 in the division, and that also goes a long way. So I'd like to think this will be used as a sense of motivation against the Angels. But, you know, if the Brewers find themselves losing this series 2 out of 3, it's also not the end of the world either. It's going to happen.
Yeah, you got that right. Joining Joe on the round table and myself, here is Anthony Mandela. He was voted the number one producer on The Big Show in the history of the world. You can follow Anthony Mandela on Twitter. He's got a very weird Twitter handle. It's at Anthony Mandela. Anthony, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Couldn't be better. No place I would rather be, Pipe Bomb.
Oh, you lie so well. I love it. Same question to you, Anthony. You think the Brewers are going to use the series win over the Cubs as motivation to keep this ball rolling and keep the energy high, or you think we might be looking at a letdown going up against a uncommon AL opponent tonight?
Well, I don't think they use the series win over the Cubs as motivation per se, given what a roll they're on dating back to last season, both against, well, any opponent in any series, but also against the Cubs. I think they've maybe gotten that monkey off their back a little bit, but I also don't expect a letdown, at least in this series against the Angels. You mentioned those three series in the division coming into tonight, and I think they showed, and Craig Counsell mentioned it yesterday after the win, that they've been showing a little bit of a different style, a little bit of a different approach every time they've gone out there to get a win. You had a team in the Cardinals that had a lot of expectations coming in. You were able to essentially battle back after an early split in that series to take it 3-1. Then you got fat on the Reds, and I know, Joe, this has been kind of your mantra in every sport, that you have to get wins over the teams that you should beat. So they did that in the sweep at Cincinnati, and then a third time around then with the Cubs, that's a team that I think has a lot of talent but was underperforming, and you were able to keep them in check too. So based on what I saw from the first 10 games, I can't really see that any opponent, let alone the Angels, is going to lead to a letdown of a series for this crew right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, they, I think the way that they won their last three games, they finish out that series against the Reds with a 1-0 nail-biting victory, and then they win a slugfest against the Cubs on Friday night. They lose a slugfest on Saturday, and then they win a 4-2 kind of normal game on Sunday. So, yeah, they're winning in a whole lot of different ways, and at least they shut down the Cubs offense on Sunday, which was nice. Let's make this little part of the segment here the how amazing is Josh Hader segment. 8-out save yesterday, 3 Ks, punched out Rizzo in a huge moment in the 7th inning. It was cool that he got to bat, you know, even though he struck out, but still it, Joe, how awesome is Hader? You know, what can you say?
He's pretty awesome. And the thing is, it's like we've seen Josh Hader long enough now where, you know, we're kind of running out of good things to say about him. You know, we're running out of all these different adjectives. But, no, I mean, he's just so locked in, man. The fastball is just it's unbelievable no matter where he's spotting it. He's trying to, you know, go upstairs on a hitter with 2 strikes on him, or he's just coming back trying to, you know, if he finds himself behind an account, he's going to go right back with the fastball, try to paint the corner. He's been throwing it anywhere between 96 and 98 miles an hour. He's just been unbelievable, and he's been a godsend for this Brewers team right now because, what, he's got 5 saves. You know, if it weren't for Josh Hader, this Brewers team probably doesn't have a couple of the wins that have been added on to what they've been doing. I mean, we know how much of an asset Josh Hader is, and, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday, too. You know, it's crazy to think that, you know, a few years ago, the Mets were so close in getting Carlos Gomez there. Remember how that old trade went down?
Oh,
and
yeah.
And, you know, it turns out that, you know, the Mets didn't want to make that deal, and, you know, they cancel it right there. But if you think about Carlos Gomez going to the Mets, the Brewers don't get Josh Hader. Instead, they get Zach Wheeler, and what has Zach Wheeler really been for the Mets? I mean, it's the one move in Brewer history that, you know, we can look back on and say, man, that thank God that didn't happen, because we didn't have Josh Hader here, and Josh Hader continues to be essential to how this Brewers, I mean, how their bullpen operates right now. And, you know, you hope Jeremy Jeffress can come back here in the next week or so. They said there was going to be on the final home or on the next homestand, but Josh Hader is just incredible. I'm really running out of great things to say, but he is, next to Christian Yelich, probably the second most important Brewer to the team.
All right, Anthony, you want to talk about your man crush on Josh Hader?
Well, I guess to put it, you know, we talk about what he does with the arm a lot and his stuff, but I think there's something else that makes him tick, and it's something that every great closer has. I know we haven't officially given him that title yet, but the dude is never too low, and he's also never too high. We've seen a lot of these flash-in-the-pan closers over the years, especially in a Brewers uniform, that get really jacked up when they go out there and do some of the spectacular things that Josh Hader is doing. And then over time, that emotional Mr. High-Low mentality catches up with guys, and then it leads to them getting a little rattled because they get a little too high on themselves. Josh Hader goes out there, he gets down in the count, and you just kind of watch him on the mound, and he just kind of gives him an old, like, he it almost doesn't faze him, in a sense. He seems so comfortable out there. I don't think he necessarily realizes the gravity of his impact and his presence on not just the Brewers organization, but on Brewers fans, just how good we all think he is. I think he's still just a kid going out there and playing baseball, and that's probably exactly what you want him to be, aside from a golden boy of an arm.
Yeah, I think it's amazing that he's thrown, what, maybe four sliders all year, that's it, and everything else is heat. So the batter knows what's coming, and they still can't put lumber on the ball. It's phenomenal. And especially, you know, with the first game of the season where Lorenzo Cain had to rob that game-tying home run to win to seal the win for the Brewers, I thought, uh-oh. And then, you know, Hader is just mowing everybody down. So it's unreal. Another pitcher who's mowing a lot of guys down, Yoli Chacin. Already 2-0 this season. You know, he got the opening day start for a reason. His ERA 4.22, so that could be better. But it seems like all this guy does is win. Joe, when the season is said and done, look in your crystal ball, and do you think that Yoli is going to still be the number one for the Brewers all season long?
Oh, God, I hate predictions. I really do, because predictions tend to burn you. Look, this is what I'll say about Chacin. It's reliable. You know what you're getting out of Yoli Chacin every 5 days. You know he's going to go out there. He's probably going to give you a quality start. He's going to get you 5 to 7 innings every time. And if he's stealing the breaking pitches, he's going to be all over it. He's going to put your team in a position to win on most nights. Just is. I mean, again, it's another undervalued signing by David Stearns where he could have paid all the money in the world to Yu Darvish, and instead he gets a bargain with Chacin. And look where you are. I mean, it's a no-brainer where you'd rather be right now, having either Chacin in your rotation or Darvish in your rotation. I'd like to think, as long as he stays healthy throughout the course of the year, I think he will be the most consistent pitcher amongst the Brewers starters, because, again, with the younger guys, I think there's going to be growing pains, and I think there's also going to be great moments. Maybe something that the three young guys, Woodruff, Burns, and Peralta, they might be able to do something extraordinary, something that Chacin doesn't really do. That is something I could foresee as we go along this season, but I think at the end of it, Chacin is probably going to be your go-to guy because he's got the most experience. He's probably going to be that guy that if you go into a wild card game, that's the guy you're going to trot out there and try to get the win. I just think of the Brewer starters right now, he's the most reliable, and I would expect that continues throughout the course of the year. I mean, is that a fair prediction, Jeff? Is that okay?
Oh, that's fantastic, man. I got to borrow your crystal ball next time the lotto gets up there big. Anthony, when Joe was talking, I could hear you dialing the psychic hotline. What did your psychic advisor tell you? Is Chassin going to be the number one throughout the entire year, or do you see somebody surpassing him eventually?
Well, the voice on the other side of the psychic hotline said to just listen to what Radio Joe just told all of you through your speakers. I couldn't agree with the guy more. I think it's a prime example of all the things that he just laid out, that he's, in my opinion at least, the least likely to sustain some sort of derailing injury, just because we know what Yoelis Chassin has been. He's been a guy throughout his career that's going to give you probably somewhere in the high threes in terms of ERA, be able to go out there and start pretty much on schedule through all 162 games. And I think that there's just too many question marks with the other guys in the staff. In terms of pure talent, I think that Brandon Woodruff has an opportunity to give him a run for his money. But given the nature of Freddie Peralta and Corbin Burns and their roles last season, I could see something around the All-Star break maybe somewhat derailing them, whether it's a matter of confidence or injury, because they're not used to putting that kind of wear and tear on their arm at this point in the season. Then the last guy, Zach Davies, I just don't think he has good enough stuff to be considered a number one. That doesn't mean he's not a good pitcher, but in terms of your question, Jeff, who's the number one? I just don't think Zach Davies really delivers that. And there's injury questions scattered throughout Davies' pitching history as well.
Yeah, good point.
Jeff, let me just counter real quick, too, on Zach Davies, because, again, I think a lot of Brewer fans have, at the beginning of the year, have already, like, ruled out Zach Davies as someone that can really help this pitching staff throughout the year. And we remember just a couple of years ago how dominant he was. I still think there is a chance, and again, health is going to be the biggest thing here, guys. It just is. But if Zach Davies can stay healthy and pitch games like he did against the Chicago Cubs the other night, I'm fine with that. And I agree with Anthony. I don't see Davies being surpassing Chassin as the number one pitcher on the staff this season. But again, if Zach Davies goes out there and gets the job done, 5 2/3, 6 innings, couple of runs, That's perfect. That's Zach Davies from a couple of years ago. I'll take that all day. I just think there is an opportunity here for Zach Davies to have a huge bounce back in his career, and that will lead to more wins for the Brewers. That goes a long way. That is very possible, guys. That can happen.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, Davies pitched good yesterday, holding down that Cubs offense. They had their game earlier today and faced Jameson Taillon from Pittsburgh, and just tore him apart, put up, you know, a 10 spot. And so, yeah, for him to hold down the Cubs to just two runs and neither one were earned yesterday, that's pretty phenomenal. At the plate, we've got a couple of Brewers struggling. Asked the guys yesterday on the round table about, you know, how the awesome outfield and Lowe Cain and Yelich and Braun and how strong they're hitting. Let's move to the infield, because we've got some issues here with Jesus Aguilar. Jesus, he's only batting 148. You got Travis Shaw at 194, and the good old backup Manny Pineapple at 222. Which of those guys do you expect to break out of their slump first, Anthony?
That's a tough one. I'd have to say Travis Shaw, just because we've seen a larger sample size from him, at least in Milwaukee and hitting in Miller Park. I think Jesus Aguilar might be the more talented hitter, but he also just doesn't have the same experience at the big league level in terms of working out of slumps. Last year he got really hot, and then he got so hot for so long that it earned him an all-star bid, and it basically secured him into that first base slot for the rest of the year. He hasn't really, as good as he was at times last year, he hasn't been tested through the trials and tribulations of a full 162, and I think in terms of the mental hurdle of trying to get over that, whatever might be in his head that has him so cold to start the year, I just think it's going to take him a little bit longer to figure it out based on his experience. I think this is honestly just what Manny Pena is at this point. There's a reason he didn't make his major league debut until he was already 30-something years old. He's a really, really good defensive player. But in terms of what he brings at the plate, there's just nothing special per se. It doesn't mean he's not a valuable piece to a major league team. I just don't think we can expect him to be a 300 or thereabouts hitter the way he was when he first came up from Colorado Springs a couple of years back. So to answer your question, Jeff, I think it's got to be Travis Shaw. And on top of that, I think Shaw just has more opportunities to stay in the lineup since he's a left-handed bat.
All right, there he is, ladies and gentlemen, especially ladies. That's Anthony Mandela, the producer, the award, soon-to-be award-winning producer for the Wendy's Big Show. Great job, Anthony. Thank you for a few minutes, buddy.
Appreciate it. Anytime, Jeff.
Enjoy the game. And, Joe, same question. We'll throw Pineapple out. Do you expect Jesus or Travis Shaw to bounce back quicker from their slump?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would go with Travis Shaw as well in regards to Anthony, just based on experience. But look, the key for both of these guys is they just can't be pressing at the plate. They just got to take one pitch at a time. They can't be swinging out of their shoes at every little thing. I mean, Jesus Aguilar, you know, we've seen him, you know, throw temper tantrums. He's got a lot of attitude, especially when stuff doesn't go right with him. So he just needs to relax at the plate. And again, Travis Shaw is a little bit more cool, calm, and collected. But I we're like 10 games into the season, and the 8-2 mark is a really good start for the Brewers. But I don't think we should be freaking out about either one of these guys at the end of the day. I think they're both going to find it. But again, if I have to pick between one, Jeff, I guess Travis Shaw, just based on experience. I completely agree with Anthony.
All right, there's the eloquent sounds tickling your eardrums from Radio Joe Zanzola, producer extraordinaire from the Bill Michaels Show. Weekdays from 10 to 2 right here on The Fan. Follow him on Twitter at Radio Joe Sports. Joseph, that's a tough act to follow. I hope I can keep the show on the rails. Thank you, sir.
I'm not as big as some of my other colleagues, so I don't even know what you're talking about. But, Jeffrey, I always appreciate it.
You're a rock star. Thanks, boss. All right, those guys join me on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
All right, going to take a quick break here on Appella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show. When we come back, we're going to hear from Craig Counsell. We're going to hear from Josh Hader. We got a lot more coming up. We'll be right back. It's on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
This is the Pella Windows and Doors On Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan. What's Craig Counsell have planned for today's game? Let's find out with today's scoop from the skipper on The Fan.
All right, welcome back to the On Deck Show, getting you ready for Brewers, Angels, game one of the series about to get underway. Let's take a listen to what Craig Counsell had to say after the game yesterday, the 4-2 win over the Cubs. Brewers take 2-3 from the series, put a capper on their 10 games all against NL Central opponents with a wonderful 8-2 record. Let's see what the big guy said after the game.
At the point of that game, when you know you have a well-rested Hader, did you start thinking about an extended outing for him?
Well, I mean, you're kind of just thinking about it the whole game, I think. I mean, the fact that where he was at, I think we just, you know, today you're just considering the seventh inning was a possibility today. So that was, you know, then you're just, Zach was pitching so well, you know, I was thinking Zach going to get through six, and then maybe plans change as far as, you know, depending on the lead or the score or whatever. But we got in a little jam in the seventh, and so there he was.
That's quite a weapon when you can roll him out, especially well rested. You talked about the velo in Cincinnati and the weather in that. It was pretty well rested looking, Josh.
Well, he pitched great. I mean, the first situation is Brian Rizzo. It's, you know, a first and third, very tough situation. The Rizzo at bat it's just good baseball, man. I mean, Rizzo gives him tough at bats. It's great baseball. It really is. I mean, it's so to get through that spot was the big spot. And then, you know, really, I didn't, you know, after Rizzo gave him the tough at bat, I wasn't really sure that we were going to get him through the ninth, but he had an efficient eighth, and so you go back out there.
Are you sure who you had behind him if you'd had to go there?
Junior was up, yeah.
Is that really the swing, though, Craig, like for him to be able to get through the eighth in just 10 pitches?
Yeah, no, that was it for sure. Yeah, Javi just got through that inning. Look, he's got limits. You know, there's definitely going to be limits. And, you know, but we were walking today. We were in a scenario that was, you know, with the rest, we were just in a good scenario for him.
The camera seemed to catch you and Joe Madden making eye contact after you had to, you know, after they intentionally walked Christian.
Yeah. Is that what happened? Yeah, he called my bluff. Well, yeah, he won. He won that matchup. He called my bluff.
He didn't make contact, though, so.
No, it was, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, we'd hit, you know, we did everything we can to put on a show that he wasn't going to hit, but it didn't fly.
I'm told it.
Yeah, I know. We sold it fine, but it didn't fly. He made the right call.
What did you think of how Zach threw the ball today?
No, I thought Zach was wonderful. I mean, really, you know, he gave up, you know, the Zobrist single and then the Contreras homer, the last pitch he makes, were really the mistakes, the hard hit pitch, the hard hit balls. He had up to the Contreras homer, it was, you know, for me, one hard hit ball. And then the sixth, you just, you know, two infield hits got him into trouble, unfortunately. He threw the ball well in the sixth inning, you know, up to that last Contreras pitch. So I thought he threw the ball really, really well. You know, that sixth inning goes different, and, you know, those first two balls are out, and we might be talking about him, you know, going out there again. So really pleased, you know, the fastball command again. I thought the fastball command was really good, and that's Zach Davies. He got the fastball going where he wanted to, and saw a lot of takes today, a lot of takes for strikes. It's a good sign.
We were surprised, at least I was, to hear that Yelich, that was his first homer he's hit against the Cubs. With all the times he played him last year and all the home runs he hit, it's kind of a testament to that they've done a good job keeping him apart.
Yeah, that surprises me. I remember one he hit in April last year that the wind held in for sure, but yeah, that's surprising.
But he just a good day for him.
He had a big day. I mean, Lowe got on for him twice. Zach Davies getting on. I thought we did a really nice job against Hendricks. We didn't get the next hit, but we put together some really solid at bats to put together some rallies. And we just, you know, Christian just missed the ball. Just missed the ball. So. But did a nice job putting pressure on him for sure.
Craig, this seems pretty obvious maybe, but Madden had said that part of his team's struggles this year is that they never have a lead, that they're playing from behind all the time. You get two runs right off the bat in the first inning again. Is it always, having them be in chase mode all the time, is that?
Yeah, I mean, I think anyone would say that. It just, it so changes your frame of reference kind of how you have to be aggressive, who you're going to use in the bullpen. You know, you have to, I think that's right. I mean, you play with a lead, you're hedging less, and, you know, when you're playing from behind, you're always kind of hedging for the next day. That's how you got to play. Because there's always a game the next, you know, generally there's a game the next day. So he's right. And so, you know, getting out to first, I love first inning runs. I've said it a million times. It's a really important time in the game. And you know, we jumped on him today, and we've jumped on him all 3 days. We did a nice job with that.
What are you most happy with, just with taking the first three series and all against division opponents? We talked about kind of how you guys have contested right off the bat.
No, I mean, it's a consistent, we've started the season, I think, in a consistent way is probably what I'd say. If you win three series, it's, you know, a good start to consistent baseball. That's the goal. I think we're very capable of that. And so we head west on a tough road trip, but with a start that I think we've been consistent in all areas. And really, I think at times, too, we've shown, you know, what I like is that we can win games in different ways. And that's what a deep team, I think, should be able to do. You don't have to count on one part of the team to get victories, or one person on the team. We can get victories from different kind of guys on the roster and areas of the roster and units on the roster. That's what we've done the first 10 days.
Baseball is 90% mental, and the other half is physical. So who's injured on the crew? here's today's injury report. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, the good news for the crew, no recent injuries. Jimmy Nelson, you know, he's still on the 10-day injured list. Jeremy Jeffress, he began his rehab stint on Friday with the San Antonio Missions. They're doing they're still continuing their series. They're wrapping it up today in Oklahoma City. Earlier, Craig Counsell said that his plan was to have JJ pitch every 3 days. He made his San Antonio Missions debut back on Friday. So if my math is correct, I would expect Jeffress to see some action tonight. That's just an educated guess. My crystal ball isn't really working today. But let's go inside the clubhouse.
Now, here's the behind-the-scenes info as we take you inside the clubhouse. Brought to you by Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street. Stop in today for lunch and dinner and try their fabulous Friday fish fry. Now open, Coaches on Lake Dunoon. This is the Pella Windows and Doors On Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Oh, that always makes me hungry when they talk about Coaches. Love that place. You know, talked about it earlier. The big story of yesterday's game, the 4-2 win over the Cubs. Josh Hader, an 8-out, 2 2/3 inning save yesterday. He had 3 Ks, struck out Rizzo, just... He was huge. He was absolutely huge. Josh Hader spoke after the game, and here's what he had to say.
Josh, is Rizzo with bats, are they fun at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, they're always fun. I mean, he's a good hitter for sure. And, you know, we kind of go back and forth, I guess, from last year. You know, he got me a couple times. And I think that's just in general, it's just the fun thing about pitching is, you know, there are going to be days where you execute your pitch and they still hit it, and there's days where you don't execute that pitch and, you know, they don't hit it, or vice versa. You know, there's so many things that could happen even if you execute or not. So I just enjoy being out there and being able to, you know, pitch.
You've seen that there have been more days that you've been executing your pitches so far this season. Why do you feel like things are just clicking so well for you so early?
I think my biggest goal coming into this year is trying to be consistent as possible. You know, just with my delivery, my arm slot, my hand position, that's one of the biggest things that I really focused on, and I think that's really what's helping me this early on.
Durability too. They're having to use you a lot because there's some guys down, and so far you've answered them
well. For sure. Like I said, it was just the off-season program putting us in a good position to, you know, get stronger and even better. And I think as long as you can stay consistent, I think that's really the biggest thing.
You know, it's still early in the season. People, baseball doesn't always mean a whole lot. But for you guys to win three straight series against NL Central opponents, I mean, what kind of statement do you guys make to the rest of this league and also to yourself?
I think we're just having fun. We're playing the game right. We're playing the game, you know, through the whole game. It's not like, you know, if we're down, we're not giving up. And every guy on this team, you can vouch for that, where, you know, it doesn't end until the game's over. And a lot of hard, a lot of hustle, too. So I think that's just having fun, really.
You celebrating your birthday in here at all?
We're about to. We got a bunch of sweets if you guys want to get some.
Looking forward, if you get the opportunity to face Trout, we're just talking about what it's like with Rizzo. What would it be like for you to face arguably the best in the game right now?
I think it would be fun. I mean, just watching him, how he goes about his at-bats and how good he really is. You know, it would be fun. You know, I just, like I said, I like being out there on the mound and being able to pitch. So if I get that opportunity, we'll see how it goes. But, you know, at the end of the day, we'll see. I guess we'll see when it happens. Thanks, guys.
Well, there's your rock star reliever, Josh Hader. One last break here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show. Check them out at PellaWI.com. And coming to you live from the Hyundai West Allis On Deck Studios, Jeff Orlowski. One last quick break. When we come back, you'll hear who's hot, who's not, and you'll hear from the franchise, Tim Allen. We'll be right back here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Some of the Brewers are hot, while some are not. This is Who's Hot, Who's Not, on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show.
All right, about 15 minutes away from first pitch. You just heard the sweet sounds of Tim Allen's voice tickling your ears on that promo. Let's welcome in Tim Allen on a great Midwest Bank hotline. What's going on, franchise?
What's happening? Getting ready to go? We got all night. If we need 5 hours to get this game done and it's a Brewers win, we're all for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just telling Sam Schmitz, the producer here, pressing all the right buttons on the board that, you know, this game ends at 4 in the morning. We go live at 4 in the morning, so cannot wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. What kind of tricks you got up your sleeve tonight, Timmy?
Well, I've always been impressed over the years, Jeff, in doing this now into the 14th year that, you know, it's not just the first shift world anymore. And it used to be when, obviously, I was a kid. I don't know about you, but it was for the most part a first shift world. And now it's not, man. The people are crazy hours and they absorb and watch Brewers baseball or follow Brewers baseball at any time of the day or night. And it doesn't matter. I've said that for years. It doesn't matter whether the game is played at noon or if it's a West Coaster at, in this case, 9:07 first pitch, does not matter. Been very impressed with the interaction late at night in Milwaukee.
Yeah, absolutely. And another big thing about it is the podcasting. And you could check out if, you know, you happen to fall asleep tonight, you got to get up early tomorrow, which, you know, we won't blame you. But on your drive to work, if you know, go to radio.com, go to Brewers Coverage, and the post-game show is there, so you can listen to it on your way to work whenever it's convenient. And I get tweets all the time, woke up in the middle of the night and checked out the post-game show. I love it.
Yeah, and we found that some of the data that we get, a lot of people do that. You're right. A lot of people get up in the morning, work out or whatever, and they throw it on. It's just, you know, it's tough. They don't do what we do. And we, at least I, center myself around this Brewers baseball schedule. And a lot of people cannot do that, unfortunately. But they do have the option. That's where, quite frankly, technology, it's not just all the data you get from or for baseball these days, but it's also the broadcasting technology. You can listen anytime, anywhere on that radio.com app for sure.
Oh, yeah, it is nice. That is nice. It makes it so convenient. So, Yoli Chacin putting the number one starter back out there, 2-0 record on the season. Should be a good one up against Trevor Cahill. So, what are your expectations for Chacin, especially, you know, you got Mike Trout. I gave his numbers earlier when AL Player of the Week. He is just tattooing the ball.
Yeah, he is on fire. And it's the same concept that the opposition will have to do when they face Christian Yelich. It's a similar situation. But Chacin 2-0, he's their workhorse. He's their ace, and I don't think there's any debate about that. And it's been that way for, you know, a year plus now. He is pitching in all the big games. I like a game one of a series start by Chacin. It's lined up pretty good. Should see some additional offense here, and you always think you have the advantage as a National League team playing in the AL Park because it seems you have the bonus. Even though the other guys get a DH too, it just always seems that the NL team, wow, we get an extra hitter, we should roll in this game, but it just doesn't work out. It just, that's the perception of it, and you got Eric Thames in there tonight. An extra bat in there. That's going to be fun. They've got some stars over there, and Mike Trout, we're going to dig into what he has done in his last series as well as this game here. Just some amazing numbers on a roll for sure, and hopefully, you know, they get him out a few times.
Yeah, well, I'd keep walking him as much as I had to, but all right, well, there's Tim Allen, the host and the rock star of the Bayview Shade and Blind post-game show.
Coffee's being consumed as we speak, ready to go. Got the meal in. I got a mid-game snack planned. And we're
show, buddy.
Sounds good, Jeff.
All right, thank you. That's Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show. Enjoy the game, everybody. Go Brewers.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.